Hi, I'm Scott Peterson, Editorial Director of the Business Applications Group at TechTarget, and I'm here today with Steve Scheinheit. He's a former CIO of JPMorgan Chase, MetLife, and QBE, and he's now a management consultant. And he's going to be speaking at the upcoming World BPM Forum in New York, July 17th and 18th, and I'll be there as well. And I want to welcome Steve here to share his thoughts on what he's going to be talking about there.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to participate in this call.
Great. So at the World BPO Forum, you're going to be part of a fireside chat that's called The Evolving Role of the Successful CIO. May the forces be with you. What can you tell us about some of the new roles that CIOs are being called on to do these days? What are these forces?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I do is I kind of reflect upon the changes that I've seen in my career and I've seen in the industry. And I guess that in order to understand how the role of the CIO is evolving, and I think it's evolving, it's not necessarily new roles, but evolving, and the attention of where the CIO needs to put their attention has been evolving over many, many years and continues to do so. I think first I need to briefly describe the forces of that set of transformations that I see companies going through as a result of advances in information technology that the CIO supports and delivers. And so, you know, the first thing that I look at is mobility. And that's really doing business anytime, any place. This can be an employee, a customer, or a business partner. And what that means is that the CIO is the world of the CIO is expanded greatly in terms of what they need to understand and support. The second transformation that's occurring is globalization. And really, as you think about the whole conference, it's really about the understanding of where the talent, the skills, and where work is going to be processed over the long term. And what IT does is it gives the ability to move information to the expert as opposed to having to move an individual, an expert, to the information. And because of digitization, around information, that digitization allows that information to move on a global basis and be processed anywhere in the world. The third transformation is kind of caused by proliferation, and that's the cost of computing, whereby the intelligence is now being embodied in everything. Because the cost of computing is being driven down so low in terms of the physical aspect of computing, not the people aspect, the physical aspect, it gets propagated in every fabric of everything that we do. And the interconnection of that and managing those interconnections become a critical function for the CIO. The fourth transformation is continuous. Once again, because of the fact that we can do things globally, we can process anywhere, anytime, no matter, because of that and the fact that the intelligence exists all over the place, is we end up in the ability to continue work processes nonstop on a 24/7 basis. That is a real challenge for CIOs, right? Because the day never ends and things need to be continuous and always running. The fifth area that I look at is really now, as you think about some of the newer technologies of social media that are propagating, is around community. And I really kind of look at community as harnessing the power of groups by integrating them around common interests. And that's really key, is I think we've been in an information overload, which has really been a challenge, but getting the right information to the right set of people to be able to act and respond is critical. So how do you manage that and manage the communities that we all are involved in, the different communities and the different information that they need in order to be effective? And that really ties into the whole concept, which is the transformation, and maybe the overall biggest part of the transformation is what I call the extended enterprise. And when I think about extended enterprise, it's really interconnecting electronically across the complete value chain of an enterprise. Every customer, every partner, every supplier, all interconnected into a value chain that can be very effective through the information technology enablement.
Right.
So if you take that set of constructs, right, then, and you look at the CIO of the past, it's become much more complex. And the importance of IT and IT delivery as a competitive differentiator, just to be in business, grows as the CIO plays a greater role in so many aspects of the firm. So the CIO needs to be on top of new developments that enable lower cost, improve customer service, and enhance the value proposition of the enterprise. That hasn't changed. But what has changed is the is all the aspects associated with what the CIO needs to be touching and responsible for, managing or controlling or directing in some fashion in order to make the results effective.
Okay. So are you saying that the CIO is the critical, let's say, lever in the ability of a business to take advantage of the things you're talking about, like mobility and globalization?
Absolutely. And because of that, it's maybe not so much the role of the CIO has changed, but the skills required for the CIO in order to be effective maybe have changed a bit. And I kind of look at that pretty much analogous as I think about when I started my career is I'm going to call it technology was king, and the reality is if you understood the technology, because there was such a gap between business understanding and technology understanding of technology, is you could live within your own world and deliver things. Today, there's an expectation because of the fact that everybody is so is touching technology in so many different ways today as individuals, not just within their firms, but as individuals, right, that the expectations have risen, and they expect to see the capabilities within the firm as good as any provider that they do business with as an individual, right? That changes the ballgame, right? So when I look at that and I say is that it's the skills that are required to change, is the CIOs have a lot of challenges in order to be able to get the investments, dollars necessary to make the changes that they need to be most effective. They need to be salespersons. They need to be relationship folks. They need to understand business and finance, and they need to be with the business, I say integrated within the business, in order to be effective. And that's the big change. And one of the things I often see or talk about is the fact that there are gaps that have been created between business and IT. The fact that we talk about business and IT, and we don't talk about business and IT as a component of business, is a problem, all right? So when I think about it, it's that integration that's required, and the successful CIO, in terms of the roles or the skills that they need, need to be an integral part of the business and accepted on that basis. Also, as a point, delivering the performance and the capabilities that the technology can provide, right? Because that's their role, but being integral to the business in terms of directing where the investments go for the business, whether it be in technology or other areas, is critical.
So a lot of this naturally leads to what we're going to be talking about in New York in a few weeks, which is business process outsourcing. So how does a CIO determine the competencies that stay part of the internal IT and what goes out to partners?
Every firm is different, right? They're different in terms of what they have in place, where their maturity is, what their needs are, how they can solve those needs, and so forth. So I think the key is, and what I've always tried to do, and I've done a lot of outsourcing and BPO and ITO and so forth, outsourcing, is I try to keep knowledge within the firm around architecture and engineering, as well as develop the management skills and the measurements for what's supposed to be delivered by that third party so that it can be effectively managed. And I've seen in cases where in some cases where firms have outsourced something and then believe that it was somebody else's responsibility to manage. It's critical. Actually, I think it's more critical and even perhaps a more difficult job when you're managing across a relationship, right, that is not directly under your control, is to put the management controls, the measurements, and the capabilities in place to be able to manage that relationship. But also, from the perspective of the changes that are required, the needs of the business and getting the responsiveness that you need, unless you understand at a detailed level, I'll call it the architecture and the engineering of what's in place, it's very difficult to understand what and how long it will take to deliver what's necessary to the business. And that's critical to maintain that knowledge internally. right? Because what happens is and I experienced this over the years. I watch firms is that once the business is in place, right? You do business with a particular company, it's in place. Is there's an inertia that gets established and an expectation that that business will continue and the flow of monies will continue and so forth, right? You have to work that relationship to make the changes required to be responsive to the changes in the business that you need, recognizing the fact that at times that's more difficult once you've established a third-party relationship. So it's a very, very different type of set of skills and capabilities that you need in order to manage that.
Since you spent a lot of years in the finance industry, financial services industry, I was wondering if you could relate some examples of where you took advantage of BPO in those markets.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess in some cases, you know, when I look back, we were fairly early in some cases of being able to, utilize BPO or ITO. Specifically, when I look back and we were pretty early into the ITO era with application development. With a number of major firms that will be represented actually at the conference, where we were early adopters of the whole model of recognizing the fact that we needed to build technology capability more rapidly than we could internally, and the skill sets that existed on a global basis were stronger outside the U.S. And we built very, very strong relationships with a number of firms that effectively created the application development capabilities and model for being able to develop and maintain applications around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically at that time, we got to the point where, if you looked at it, we were about maybe 40%. Outsourced offshore and 60% in-house at that time, and that's over 20 years ago. So that was fairly early days of that move. Later on, what was interesting is I had the opportunity to build for BPO to build a unique set of hybrid types of relationships with a firm that was put in place to get us off the ground on the BPO side effectively with another third-party partner. But we hired all the employees up front on an offshore basis as a direct employee of the firm I was working for, and utilized the third party to do training, recruitment, food and transportation, facilities, and so forth. And it was a very, very successful hybrid venture that eventually then spawned into a captive that we created and maintained the dual relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many ways to attack the BPO space. I think you need to evaluate where your needs are and then look at the types of models that are available and the types of firms that can supply that capability. I was fortunate in those days working for very large firms that had critical mass, so you were able to move the needle very, very rapidly. In many cases, and actually in more recent positions, where we didn't have the mass to move the needle, it was amazing to me how a relatively, what I would consider a small commitment in terms of resource requirements and so forth, could get vendors, very, very capable and known vendors, to respond with the potential of future capability. And also the fact that they had evolved in certain aspects in areas where they could provide the capabilities at a very, very cost-effective level, meaning that they had developed the processes, the skills, and capabilities that could supply at a much lower level to the marketplace of a capability without having huge scale.
What do you think would be some emerging areas of BPO that we think we might be seeing in the next few years?
Yeah, I think BPO is maturing and changing and evolving as well. You know, if I think about the first wave of BPO and some of the, you know, and I'll call them potential you know, learnings or failures of that, is I think we all know that as BPO originally kind of started to really grow, it had some trouble in dealing with customer service because of language. And there was some retrenchment, I believe, in that space. I believe that side of things will evolve and mature over time, either based upon improvement of the language skills on a global basis or the use of technology to be able to respond more effectively and provide the scripting and so forth that's evolving as well. What I see happening, and I see happening with firms, is that what they've recognized is that there needs to be a not a single solution, but a multi-level solution, especially as you deal with U.S. firms. There are opportunities to compete within the boundaries of the U.S. or what's called nearshore, or to go farshore and to craft that into a solution. So I think that the BPO suppliers need to understand that they need to expand their capabilities so that they have all those capabilities in place that can then match against the needs of a particular company. Second thing that I see is actually, and this is an area that maybe there's a little bit of a paradox here. As we automate more, the need for BPO actually diminishes because the need for labor associated with the processing of information is going to get lower. Right, so whereas a lot of the initial BPO was the ability to do data entry and to offshore different manual kinds of processes, as those processes become more automated because there's more capture at the source and digitization of information at the source so that there's no need for data entry, there's more and more customer self-service, which is, again, entry at the source, then the ability to process without people becomes more enabled. So then I believe, and we've seen that constantly, I think if you take a look at the U.S. economy and you look at the profitability of firms today, is what's been seen. It's not been necessarily on revenue growth and business growth. It's been on being able to lower costs by reducing staff, by automating processes. And when you do that, then the nature of the BPO relationship needs to change. Now, what's going to happen is, and I think that's also why when we talk about BPO, you also need to talk about ITO at the same time. It's ITO-enabled BPO. And to the degree that the BPO firms can provide the technology capability and be able to provide a economic model that allows companies to scale up, scale down, and so forth, and move rapidly utilizing the firm's capabilities, I think will enhance the use of BPO, right? So I think it's that interconnection, intersection to a different type of offering than they provided in the past, and being able to then become the true partner relationship with firms and to be able to then do whatever is required as the firm is evolving and changing.
That's excellent insight, Steve. Thanks very much.
I appreciate the time, and I hope that folks listen to the dialogue and learn some from it.
The World BPO Forum in New York on July 17th and 18th is a really good conference. It's great for meeting people, excellent networking, excellent sessions. Steve Scheinheit, former CIO, will be leading panel on evolving role of the CIO. May the forces be with you. This has been Scott Peterson, editorial director of the Business Applications Group at TechTarget. Thanks for listening.